Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Moving to our own folklore, Wexford folklorist Michael Fortune's curiosity has taken to all sorts of places, and his latest project is quite beautiful. I have it here in front of me, the Irish Dresser Project, and it's a calendar and it brings him into homes across hundreds of homes around the country for the last couple of years. He's here live in the studio. Good morning to you, Michael Fortune.
Good morning.
And you are fascinated with the humble dresser, aren't you? And what it means. I didn't realise there was such meaning and to places and people.
Yeah, I suppose I'm interested in stories, you know, and like your previous guest there as well, stories and what connects us to places and things, you know, and I suppose like triggers, like you, with the word British, people get triggered, you know, and I suppose the dresser is one of those things that triggers people for memories in particular, you know. Yeah. People, especially older people, who will get triggered when they remind them of their own grandmother and their own grandfather or who made it and all that kind of crack. But we've got definitely a place in our heart in Ireland for the humble dresser.
We do. And it's like an artefact that is still very relevant, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is, because I suppose it's a reflection. You look at us now. I was driving up here today, and you know, you look at the leaps and bounds we've come on. Like my mother, as a child, was out in the field picking dry cow dung and used them on the fire to make bread, right? And that was like in the 1940s and 50s. And look at the scale of our lives now, and the houses that lived in with no electricity or running water, no nothing. And I suppose for the women in particular, these dressers were all they had. They ran the house. They reared 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 children, and they were their centrepieces, you know. So it's no surprise that maybe when we've prospered and life has moved on and we've moved on, we still come back to that central heart that was in the home, and that's the dresser, really, you know, in some ways.
And the fact that it's open, so that everything was in use nearly all of the time, wasn't it? It was barely put away to even dry on the counter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because houses were busy, and it was a rural community, the whole country, wasn't it? So there was constant meals going on all day.
Oh, constantly, yeah. And there was no presses. There was no doors on things, where everything was left open, you know. But that was that one little centered piece, and they're great. And things like Oliver as well, everywhere you went there were different designs, different shapes, different sizes, different little quirks, no matter where you went in the country.
What are the differences between the dresser? Because you've studied them long enough to know, like if we dropped you blindfolded into a county, you could tell where you are looking at a dresser.
That'll tell you how sad my life is, isn't it?
it's worthwhile.
When I started on this particular project, I'm not a furniture expert in any shape or form. No shape or form. I was interested in people and their stories that connected them. And sure, like if you look at yokes for long enough and you start to see little quirks and differences, you'll start to spot little things. So now if you drop me into County Mayo, I'd know fairly well if I saw a dresser, if it was a North Mayo or South Mayo, by a few little features. And it's simple facts. Like what'll happen is someone up in Mayo, all of Callan's grandfather would make a dresser, but sure, all the neighbours will copy off your design, and next minute you get a style in one part of the county.
But it stays there.
It does, yeah, it does.
And it has stayed there.
Yeah, like down in the southeast where I'm in Wexford, you get a really unusual little feature where you'll see on dressers little slots for hanging in little spoons. So you'll see spoons hanging on it. But you'll only get it in, say, Wexford, Waterford, Kilkenny, bit of Tipperary, and you won't get that in the rest of the country at all.
What will you get in places like Mayo, the specific?
Mayo and Galway, the west of Ireland and the north of Ireland tends to have the nicer dressers. They're much more creative, and much nicer now. I'll probably be starting fighting here now with that talk, right? But they're just lovely, colourful, and more ornate. You know, if you look at the dressers, even any of the ones in the calendars there, you'll see little designs cut up on top. The ones in the west tended to go for that, more artistic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've got little shoulders. Then down in the bottom, they have these little feet. Literally, come here, they were years ahead of IKEA, really, when you think about it. These men, and probably women as well, were making them. They were making them, they had these little steady feet on them so that they wouldn't fall over in the house.
Makes
but then
sense.
And then when they'd rot, then literally you'd knock them out and replace them with a new one, and away you go again. You get another 40
and
years.
In the north?
North as well, they're lovely, lovely ornate dressers up the north as well. Yeah,
they went fancy as well.
Yeah, you'll get lovely decorative friezes up in the north as well. And you'll get little messages, Oliver, as well. Sometimes when you go into a house, you'll see little love hearts. Sometimes you'll see dates. And a lot of the time in Ireland, I didn't know this starting out this journey, I'll be honest with you. Only from people telling me. People would be telling me, my grandfather made that for my grandmother. There was a whole tradition around making wedding present dressers. And little symbols would have symbolised the love for the person you had, you know. Little love hearts or little dates carved into it.
We were softer sometimes, we give us credit when we look back at it. We think we're hard, cold people. You also noticed repeated traits in terms of, like, literally what the drawer would be used for in given counties.
I'm sure, come here, we're like this at home. I'd say if I went to your house at home there now, there's probably a second or a third drawer where all the rubbish lies, you know. So it's just human behaviour, you know. Yeah. But I'd noticed, honest to God, I was in a house there in Wexford there in January, and one in Galway there only a couple of months ago, and I went in and I two drawers, and it was a functioning, working, proper dresser. It was like a proper, the older people had it. It wasn't some kind of, you know, it wasn't some collector had it. You know, that kind of way. It was a real deal.
Still functioning.
Yeah, and I said to him, do you mind, is there anything in that right-hand drawer? Would it be a shoe polish brush, and would it be a tin of shoe polish in it? And I said, how do you know? And I went over and I opened up, and there it was. And that's where the old people kept it. Like, we always saw Granny at home the same. She had the knives and forks in the left-hand drawer, and the shoe polish, a pack of cards, a turn screw, and a few yolks like that left in the right-hand drawer. But sure, again,
the same habits.
Same habits, yeah.
It's just neighbours chatting, and that's the kind of...
Just the place for it, you know?
It comes right out of the whole Mehel, doesn't it, where we're all living on top of each other for years and years, and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I find that fascinating. You also visit houses all over the country. There are the nice photographs and the stories behind dressers, because the objects and sometimes the dresser itself have incredible stories attached to them.
Yeah, there is. Come here to me. Like, I could be here all day, but there's one story struck me last year. There was a woman in Mayo called Mags Joyce, and a lovely woman. I met her out the back of Crowpatrick, and she had a dresser in the house, Oliver, and it was painted in the Mayo colours and everything, right? So it was ready for whenever the day is going to come, right? And I had it there, and it was in her grandmother's home place. And she told me, she said to me, she didn't mind telling me, she said to me, that was a tough old life my grandmother had, she said. And the children emigrated, and one of the sons went to America, and he went to America, got conscripted into the Korean War, and the poor creator, he was killed. Oh, right. And the American government bailed out a few bob then, they gave a few bob to the family. And she went in, she bought a house where she was living, and then she went into Westport and bought a dresser. And she bought a dresser to remember of the son, but also, you know, and on the back of the dresser, there was a little sheet of paper stuck, the date and time and all she bought the dresser. But it was bought out of money that the son had lost his life.
And every time they see the dresser,
it triggered that.
Extraordinary. What I love about the calendar is that although the dresser is the focal point, we're peering into people's houses. And they just leave it as it is, which is so nice. And you can see, you know, what people have on their walls. Lots of Sacred Heart pictures, Padre Pio, St. Bridget's crosses, things like that. Again, also part of our folklore, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Even with the coming of electricity, people, you'd always see the Sacred Heart in picture. Again, I suppose it was the golden age of Sacred Hearts. We had them at home. We don't have one in our own house now, but you did. You probably remember your own mother and father probably would have had one and the names on it. But I know when electricity first came, you'd have the Sacred Heart. Then they'd always put a piece of blessed palm or St. Bridget's cross beside it.
That's right. Stayed there the whole year.
Yeah, and I'm sure if electricians saw it now, he'd be telling you that would be the worst place in the world to put it.
The wired Sacred Heart picture with the light on it.
With some flammable material stuffed in the back of it. But listen, that's what people did. It's like actually lovely to go in to see the houses, and you see those same repeated patterns cropping up, you know, where there could be a stove or a picture. He'll always tell you what as well. You'll always find in people's houses, you know, that painting of or the copy of the painting of the Angelus or the Gleaners.
That's right, yeah.
You'll always see that. And there's one of the tractor as well, I always see. But it's just come here to me.
The Angelus one is, I think it's a German painting isn't it?
I'm off the top of my head now. You're putting me on the spot. I think it's Monet. But the Gleaners and the Angelus, and you'll always see it in houses. Mm-hmm. It's there, you know. And in the past, you would have a John F. Kennedy and maybe and the Pope. But I'll always find the Gleaners in houses. But you come here, you'll find a lot of them in sheds as well. A lot of men will have them in sheds.
Right. Yeah. Because they're using them for
tools. For vice grips. And
in this case, there's a fellow with three of them in his shed.
Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah, he's great. A man called Dahi Tobin, if he's listening, he's down Turles. Now, he's a lovely character. He brought me up. He's one in his house, but then I think the wife drew him out to the shed. He's a huge interest in dressers, and he literally collected them just from his neighbours. Within about a mile of where he grew up, or 2 miles, he went and saved all the dressers, and he has them there. He has them not for sale, just for himself, his space to go out and to remember his neighbours.
Oh, fair play to him doing that, because I say there are people listening now right now cursing themselves, or we threw out the dresser, there was no room, and it was maybe the woodworm had got into it and all of that.
They were shipped to America, a lot of them were, yeah.
Someone's texting and saying, our old dresser in the kitchen, if you were looking for something, it was the place to look for it. Granny's old dresser, says Betty McHugh. It had everything. Yeah. It was literally everything. And the cup on the top shelf of the dresser with Granny's false teeth in it, says Bob. There were many objects.
There were.
So much.
There were. We.
Come here. This is extremely popular, the Irish dresser and folklore calendar. It sells out every year.
It does, yeah, it does. Like, and literally, I would sell out through my own folklore.ie, and then there would be bookshops around the country. You'll go and if you find a website, you'll find them. And one of the things, Oliver, this year, I did it last year actually. When you're looking through, you see QR codes inside them.
Yes.
And the QR codes are brilliant because they only put them in last year. And basically, they'll scan you to take out your phone and they'll bring you to interviews with the owners, because there's only so much you can fit into the text on the calendar.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So it says here, scan QR code. Sometimes there are accounts and stories. This one here is a scan for accounts around the dates for sowing potatoes. And that's in the March.
Yeah, basically every month as well, because my gig most of the time is collecting folklore. And I had all these dates in my head. So I pencil in all little folklore dates about when the crow, about, you know, when to put up your Maybush, when to take down your Christmas decoration, or little verses to do with weather. So they're all scattered through every month. And then there's QR codes in as well to little things like videos, how to make a St. Bridget's cross, or, you know, how to, little things like that, or how to make Colcannon at Halloween.
Brilliant.
Jokes like that. But it's a great thing. A woman texts me back.
That's new for this year, first time.
No, I used it last year.
Oh, you did?
And I didn't. And I repeated it. And a woman texts me, says, me 85-year-old mother said, so I walked into the kitchen and my 85-year-old mother was over the kitchen table with a mobile phone scanning QR codes and watching your videos on YouTube. And if that's a hit, then to me, that works.
That is absolutely. I even see one here for a feature on the tradition of gugging for eggs at Easter. Michael Fortune, I could talk to you all day. This is absolutely fascinating. Thank you for keeping this history and for bringing the attention to it. It's absolutely, like, it's invaluable, really.
Yeah, come here. One of the things, the ordinary lives of ordinary people, Oliver, are important. And I suppose to tell our own stories is really important. And that's what I suppose I hope to do with this project, is tell the stories the best I can, and through the photographs and through the stories. And there'll be a book out next year on it. It's a long project, 10 years in
the
going.
The dresserproject.ie, folklore.ie for the calendar. Michael Fortune, good luck to you.